This morning, who is the head of my life, we thank the Lord for another day that he has allowed us to see. Amen. We praise him that we're here and in our right mind. Reasonable portion of health and strength. At this time, we're going to dismiss the covenant children, our future lawyers and doctors, business owners, politicians, lenders and not borrowers. Amen. Hallelujah. We give honor to all of our elders and ministers, to our assistant pastor, Pastor Fly and Pastor Hodge, and to my friend Apostle Hines, hallelujah, who's in the house this morning. We thank God for him. How many know that the Lord is good? Hallelujah. How many know for yourself and not just what somebody told you? And how many today are willing to surrender yourself unto the Lord? Completely surrender yourself to the Lord. Amen. I would normally sing a song about right here, but I'm going to ask Elder Fly if she would sing. I told you a couple weeks ago I don't sing like her. Amen. I don't even try. But if you would just get with her and sing a portion of the song, then I'm going to come and bring you the message that the Lord has given me that I was preaching last night in my sleep. Amen. Wrote it down. Wrote it down. Hallelujah. So she's going to say, yes, Lord.
You want me to sing it the Baptist way? Yes, Lord. 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 My soul says yes. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. Yes. My soul says yes. Have your way. Have your way, have your way, have your way, have, Lord, have your way.
Hallelujah. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Have your way. Have your way, Lord.
Have your way, Lord.
Have your way, Lord.
Have your way, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many come in expectation, not leaving the same way you came? Then lift your hands and say, Lord, have your way, Lord.
Have your way, Lord.
Have your way. Somebody need to be encouraged. Somebody need to be healed. Somebody's going through stuff. Have your way, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In case you have fallen by the wayside of life, dreams and visions shattered, you are broken inside.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. The potter wants to put you back together again. Now, maybe you're not broken. You just never been fixed. The potter wants to fix you today and use you in his kingdom. Ah, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me get to the message. I'd like to call your attention to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 5, and we're going to read just one verse. Verse number 14. That's 2 Kings 5. And 14. I'm asking that you pray for me. Amen. We can get through here if you pray. Amen. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the sayings of the man of God. And his flesh came again, likened unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we come to you. We ask, Lord, that you may have your way. Father, that you may touch this body even right now. Father, that I speak the words that you have given me. Lord, for 2 weeks have we struggled and carried this word. Now, Father, we ask, Lord, that you may release it to the ears of the hearers, O God, that their heart may receive it, Lord, and apply it to their lives. Lord, that somebody may be encouraged as downtrodden even right now. Father, for they put on a good face. Ah, shadabosi, ikanabosa. Lord, for they put on a good face. But you know, Lord, that down on the inside they messed up and tore down. But Lord, we ask today that it be a brand new day in their life, a new beginning. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise today. We give you praise, Lord, for you said that you dwell in the midst of those that praise you. You enthrone yourself in our praise, and we praise you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to use for a subject on this morning, not beyond repair. Not beyond repair. Repair is to renew, to restore, to revive, fix for use. I'm reminded when I was coming up, we used to have this little trinket called a wagon. Anybody remember that? My grandmother described it as your little red wagon when she was angry. And you didn't do what she said do. She said, well, that's your little red wagon. Or she would say, that's your bed. You made it, so now you got to lay in it. But I'm reminded that sometimes the wagons would wear out. And we were poor. I didn't realize how poor we were until I got grown. I guess I didn't think that we was that poor, because everybody had on the same thing. Jeans and a flannel shirt. So everybody was having beans. Now, house next door would be having navy beans. House on this side might have had pinto beans, but they were all beans. So when you compared yourself with those that are around you, you was all right. But we couldn't afford a wagon. So somebody threw a wagon away. It was beyond repair. But the guts of it we could use. The wheels, the axles, the steering mechanism, which was unique in a wagon because it would allow you to turn to the left or to the right. And that made the wheels turn. So, you know, we couldn't make that. We had to find that. So my brother and I, we took the wagon apart and decided we was going to build our own wagon bigger and better. We had in mind that we was going to build this wagon that it would earn money. That we was going to make it big enough that we can take people's groceries home with them. Or for them. And they would give us 50 cents. Now back then, 50 cents was a lot of money. Anybody remember 50 cents being a lot of money? I found a dollar when I was small and thought I was rich. Amen. It bought a lot of candy. But we said, well, we're going to take this wagon and we're going to build it where it can earn money. We can take people's groceries home. But we have to build it where it could sustain the bumps of going down off the sidewalk and back on the sidewalk again. So we spent about a week on this wagon. We didn't have any blueprints. We were just building this wagon. The hardest part was getting that front part where the wheels would turn and you had control of it. Somebody threw it away thinking that it was beyond repair. But it wasn't beyond repair. It just needed to be fixed. We find here that Naaman was a leper. Now, lepers were required to wear mourning clothes, leave their hair in disorder, and cry, unclean, unclean. So everyone could avoid them. So when you had leprosy, you lived a life among those who had the same disease because it was highly contagious and infectious. It was characterized by sores and scabs and white shining spots beneath the skin. And there was absolutely no cure. Even though they had a method where the priest could declare that you was clean, they had no cure. The only cure for leprosy was supernatural. So they allowed a space for God to move. I wonder today, have you allowed a space in your life for God to move? We find that Moses was a leper. He was talking to God, and the Lord told him to go down to Egypt, and he didn't want to go because he said, you know, who shall I tell them that sent me, and what I'm going to tell them anyway? They won't believe me. And the Lord told him, you go ahead, tell them that I am, has sent you. In other words, whatever I choose to be, whatever force I choose to be, that's who I am. That's my name. I am. I had to use that this morning, reminding God that he was and that he is. Amen. He's a very present help. How many know that to be true? He's a very present help in the time of trouble. So to prove to Moses who he was, he told Moses to put his hand in his bosom. And Moses put his hand in his bosom. He pulled it out. And he looked at it, and he was a leper. He told him again to put your hand back in your bosom. He put his hand back in his bosom, and he pulled it out again, and he was whole. In other words, God was showing him there was nothing too hard for him. Even though there was no cure for leprosy, I am the cure for every disease. Somebody might be sitting here today and you're thinking that you're going to be this way for the rest of your life. But I want you to know that you are not beyond repair. Your situation is not beyond repair. I'm reminded of Miriam. Miriam was Moses' sister. Miriam and Aaron had got together. This is in the book of Numbers, chapter number 12. They had got together. They were talking about the wife that Moses got. They didn't really mind him having getting another wife, but she was a black woman. And they didn't like it. And the Bible said that as they were discussing this situation, that the Lord heard them. You know, sometimes we have situations that we don't think that the Lord hears, but I want you to know that the Lord hears everything. There is no place that you can go that the Lord ain't there. David said, if I had the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost parts of the world, thou art there. If I make my bed in heaven, thou art there. If I make it in hell, thou art there. There is nowhere that you can go that God's presence is not there. So God heard him. So the Lord said, you know, I want to talk to all three of y'all. Y'all get Moses together. Aaron and Miriam, you come with Moses. And we're going to have a discussion. So now, I think what really got the Lord's attention is when they said, does the Lord just hear Moses? He hear us too. Now, they might have been able to prophesy. They might have been able to give a word or two to the congregation because it was a huge congregation. They might have been working, but they were not the leader. And they might have felt that they had a right to talk about it because that was their brother. But the Lord said, he's the meekest man that's living on the earth. He's my friend. I want to talk to you. Meet me at the tent. So when they got to the mouth or at the entrance of the tent, the Bible said that God came down and talked with them. He came down. Can you imagine a matter so important that God would come down and begin to talk to them? He talked to Miriam. I don't know why he didn't get Aaron to start off with, but he got Miriam. Miriam became a leper. She became a leper. And Aaron, when he saw that, he turned to the very one that they were talking about. How many know God will make your enemies your footstool? How many know that God will make your enemies be at peace with you? How many know that God will turn your situation around? All you have to do is act like him and go through. God will see and hear your situation and he will enter in. He said, look, Moses, don't let her be a leper, because he knew the consequences, that she could no longer stay with them, that she could no longer dwell with them, that she had to walk around unclean, that she had to wear mourning clothes, she couldn't do her hair, she couldn't do anything, and only a supernatural God could heal her. So they went to Moses and said, Moses, talk to God, for we said those things foolishly. We sinned against you foolishly. Ask the Lord to forgive us. Moses went to God. And God said, okay, but she's going to pay a price. She's going to stay this way for 7 days. I'm not going to just heal her. I can, but I ain't. I know I shouldn't say ain't. I should say I can, but I'm not. But he said, I can, but I ain't. No, I ain't going to do it right now. She's going to be like this for 7 days. And on the seventh day, I shall restore her. Sometime I want you to know that you're in your seventh day. It seemed like you're going through and there's no end. That you keep on flunking the test. and it seems like you are beyond repair. But I'm here this morning to tell you, you are not beyond repair. You're just in the right place at the right time, at the right situation, for God to prove himself strong in your behalf. You might feel like don't nobody know and don't nobody care. You don't know what I'm going through. I might not know what you're going through. Amen. But God knows. And let me tell you this. While you are having your self-pity party, somebody praying for you. Maybe they're not coming to you and saying, I'm praying for you. Maybe they're not doing all of that, but they're in their secret closet. They're praying that the Lord would have his way in your life and repair you, because God, is not his will that any should perish. Perish can be used as thrown away. It's not his will that any be thrown away. It is not his will. But all should come unto repentance and be restored and made whole again. Naaman was the captain of the host. He was a mighty man. He had plenty of victories. His name was renowned. He was great. But the Bible said he was a leper. In other words, in all of his greatness, he was still doomed, because leprosy would kill you. But there was a woman that was taken and brought to his home to serve his wife. And she was saying that it's unfortunate that he's not in the city in which I come from, because in that city, there is a man. There's a man of God that can heal him. So his wife heard it, began to tell his servants. And he said, we're going to go to that city so he can be restored. But they went to the wrong person. They went to the king. See, you being a king don't really matter that much. You have the authority to take the prophet's head, but the prophet is in connection with God. So your authority does not supersede the authority of God. So the king said, why are you coming to me? Is this some kind of trick? Are you trying to make war with me? Are you trying to get me all stirred up? Do I control life and death? He was upset. He was afraid, because he didn't know the intent of Naaman, but all Naaman wanted was to get healed. Word got back to the man of God. And he found the man of God, and he went to his house. And the man of God, as they sometimes do, was busy. So he sent his servant out. He said, just tell him to dip 7 times in the River Jordan. Now, this was the captain of the host, so sometimes we get the big eyes. We think we all of that. But let me tell you, don't believe your own hype. Don't believe your own hype. Don't believe that you're bigger than all of that. In your eyes, you might be huge. But it depends on how do you look in the eyes of God. So Naaman got the word to dip down in Jordan. Now Jordan was muddy, wet, nasty. He said, no, there are other rivers. Sometimes we say, There's other churches. There's other people I could be around. All you're talking about is this Jesus stuff. There's more to life than Jesus. I believe in having fun. But let me tell you, fun will cease. And all you have is your relationship with Jesus Christ. When you get to the end of your journey, all you have is your relationship with Jesus Christ. When daddy turned on you and mama turned their back on you, they might just leave here. They might just die. Go home to be with the Lord. All you have is your relationship with Jesus Christ. So Naaman said, I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it. He was upset. Sometimes when the word of God comes forth, it makes you upset. Anybody ever got upset with the word? Said, he's talking about me. Oh, he knew I did that. He knew my situation. Now he's telling everybody. And I'm looking at you all cross-eyed because I'm wondering what's wrong with you. And the reason I'm wondering what's wrong with you because I didn't know your situation. And the only way that I knew it is how you acting now. And I said, oh, I must have been talking about them. I was wondering why the Lord was leading me that way. Sometimes, let me give you a secret. Sometimes you can get on that road with God as God is ministering and you're trying to pull away because it's not what you study. It's not part of your notes. And you're wondering why you're going this way, kind of like Balak. When he wanted to curse the people of God, but he couldn't do it. So finally he asked God, and God told him, no, don't curse them. These are my people. Bless them. When they upped the ante, he went back to God. This time God didn't say anything because he had already told him. So when he opened his mouth to try to curse them, blessings flowed out. He had no control. Sometimes we don't have any control. Amen. We say to ourselves, I wonder why I'm saying this. That's because God is going beyond you and talking to that inner man to restore and repair him. So let me get back to Naaman. Naaman was angry when he left the man to God. And the servant said, well, look, my Lord, if he had told you to do some great thing, you would have did it with no problem. See, sometimes when we are in charge, then we all excited. We want everybody to get with us. But while we sitting down, we ain't with nobody. Sometimes when you're in the forefront, you want to make sure this is right and that's right and the other's right, but you don't want to help nobody else get it right. So this is what he was saying. If he had asked you to do something grand where you could get some glory, you would have did it. So Naaman, he kind of heard him. And so he went on down to Jordan. And he dipped 7 times. 7 times. What Naaman failed to see and to realize, and so many times we fail to realize, that the deliverance was in the mud. From dust we were made. To dust we shall return. So in order to fix my broken parts, I needed some new skin. So I had to go back to the manufacturer And the manufacturer sent him to the repair center. Have you ever bought something and they tell you, do not return to the store? Return it to the manufacturer. Then the manufacturer will tell you which repair center, authorized repair center. Now, at this particular time, Jordan became an authorized repair center. So when he dipped seven times, what was happening was God was making new flesh. He was making new flesh from the mud, because from the mud is where he came from. So he dipped seven times. And it said, listen. It didn't say it was restored. It said it was, and flesh came upon him of a little child. Smooth. Without a wrinkle, without blemish. I'm here today to tell you, because somebody is going through. You might not tell nobody, but you told God. And the Lord told me. He didn't tell me your name, not yet. But he told me you was going through. And that you needed to be reassured that no matter how bad your situation is, and no matter how bad it looks, you are not beyond repair. For the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord is in the earth, going here and going there. You know what he's doing? He's seeking someone that he can show himself strong in their behalf. So my sub-question to you today, is God looking for you? Is he looking for you to show himself strong? The Bible says in Luke 17, and I'm just about finished. In Luke 17, he talks about 10 lepers. See, this God we serve is a bad man. We put limits on him. But he take the limits off. He don't have any limits. There is nothing that he can't do. There is no situation that you got yourself in that he cannot fix. But the way into getting your healing is through your praise. And it's a consistent praise. We praise the Lord because he did this or did that. But God said, I want somebody that praise me continually. That see me in everything that goes on in their life. That they can give me the praise in spite of what it looks like. Give me praise in spite of what they feel. How many know sometimes that your feelings change from minute to minute? You can't praise God according to how you feel. We praise him for what he has done. How many can say God has got a good track record in my life? Can you say that? How many can say God's got a good track record? I don't know how high your credit score can go. I know it's in the 8s, but I don't know if it's 830, 840, 850. I don't know. But whatever the number is, God supersedes that number. Now let me tell you this. That he is such a bad man that he opened doors that you don't even deserve. He'll slide you into positions that you don't qualify for. And every everybody want to know, how did you get the job? Then we start saying, well, I did this and I did that. But the correct answer is God did it. God did it. I was so undeserving, I didn't qualify, but look at my God. You know why? Because I was faithful in my praise. Faithful in my praise. Faithful. I didn't care who looked at me. I didn't care who rolled their eyes at me. I didn't care who told me I ought to sit down somewhere. You have not been through what I've gone through, so you don't have the right to tell me how to praise him, because you don't know where he brought me from. So praise, praise. So we praise God. We praise God for what he has done. Then we worship God. We don't worship God for what he's done. We worship God for who he is. For who he is. See, it's a time that I leave the praise and go in the realm of worship. When I'm in the presence of God in worship, things are revealed. Healings take place. Encouragement happens. See, when I'm in praise, it's an I and a me thing. But when I'm in worship, it's a God thing. It's telling of his glory. It's telling of his might. It's telling of what he's able to do. It's describing him. I want you to know that God wants us to graduate and go into worship. We are not beyond repair. Now, let me tell you this, and I'm going to sit down. Faith happens. A lot of times when you ever looked in the mirror at yourself and you didn't like what you saw. I'm not talking about your character. I'm not talking about your personality. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you just looked ugly. You didn't look good. And you said to yourself, I can look better than this. I've been walking around all day looking ugly. And you decide that I'm going to fix myself up. I'm going to finally comb my hair after 2 days. I'm going to take a real hot shower. No wonder the dog ain't been by me. Put me on some perfume or some cologne. Put on some decent clothes. It didn't change your situation. It changed you. God will change you in the midst of the same situation and give you the power to go through it. So when you're going through it, you know what you'll say when you clean yourself up and you put on your perfume and your cologne, comb your hair, brush your teeth. I can make it. Then you begin to quote scripture. I can hear somebody saying, even right now, though you slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm going to wait till my change come. No matter what I'm going through, I know a change is about to occur. You are not beyond repair. You are not beyond repair. Dreams and visions all shattered. But you need to stop by the potter's house. I told you I was going to stop. But I could tell you. All right. Sometimes we don't get what we need, not because God is not trying. It's because we are jumping on and off the potter's wheel. The Bible said that when he had made a vessel, that it wasn't perfect, it was marred. In other words, it had a flaw. And he crushed it up again to spin it around to make it another one. So many times we can't stand the pain. Because you know what? When we start looking deep inside of us, sometimes we don't really like what we see. But we have to stay on the potter's wheel. Allow God to finish the work that he started in us. Because if we don't, we're going to be on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off. We'll never get to where God really wants us because we didn't stay there. Now, in growing in Christ, you're going to get your feelings hurt. You're going to get talked about. You're going to get lied on. You're going to be misunderstood. But I tell anybody, if you can get along with church folks, you can get along with anybody. Y'all looking at me real funny. What you mean, Bishop? If you can get along with church people and go through and stay in church and hang on in there and go to God and pray. See, sometimes God allows things to come upon us because he's making us. Have you ever noticed when you go and tell God on somebody? Say, well, you know what? I'm telling the Lord on Sister Fly. I'm telling on her. And I'm saying, Lord, da 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 da. And the Lord said, well, what you do? And I say, well, Lord, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about her.
That's good preaching.
So sometimes you go to the Lord and you want him to fix the situation. You say, well, they did this and they did that and they did the other. And the Lord said, well, what did you do? You did. You know what? We have amnesia when it comes to us. But the Lord don't forget nothing. He said, well, you did this, you did that, and you did the other. But Lord, but they did, but you did this. So you need to come up. You need to pray for them. You need to forgive them. Lord, I don't want to forgive them. They was the one in fault. Why should I be the one to forgive? Does that sound familiar to anybody? Oh, you don't have to raise your hand. Why do I always have to be the one to forgive? No. You the one going to the Lord. You the one that want to be like him. I am reminded constantly of the fact that the Lord forgave me for a list of things. And I'm also reminded that when he was on the cross, he had been all night in trial, carried his cross to Calvary, took the nailing. They nailed him to it, made fun of him, spit on him, mocked him. And then he had the gall when they put him up. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He could have made that the last saying, but he made it the very first thing. Forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we're not beyond repair. Now let me say this. If there's somebody that you have an ought against, you are marred. Say that again, Pastor. If you're walking around with unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody, you're marred. You're marred. So the only way that you can dig that thing out is to forgive them. So when you forgive them, you're no longer marred in that area. You actually become perfect in the area of forgiveness. You're not beyond repair. Whether it's your family, whether it's at work, whether it's at school, whether it's in your community, or whether it's at church, you're not beyond repair. For the Father wants to put you back. The potter wants to put you back together again. God bless you. We're going to have Apostle Hines to come, and he's going to make the altar call for us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Can I get you to stand to your feet right now? What a powerful message of redemption, of healing, of wisdom, of what God wants to do through us.